So in the beginning, word of mouth, referrals. And then when I got to a point where I could hire on team members, I went through and wrote down the, like, created a system of what worked for me and how to get clients. So for me, that was like cold outreach, engagement on social media. So once I tapped into that and found a way that worked for me, I created that system and I hired someone as soon as I could because I did not like doing that. That part drains me. I love making relationships and meeting people, but like the cold outreach stuff, it works. It's not my favorite thing, but it works at the end of the day. Like you have to go out. I always tell people, you have to go out and find people that need your help.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. I'm Katie Sandell, brand strategist, designer, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency. I teach brand, graphic, and web designers how to get more clients, increase their pricing, and build profitable design businesses in a simple and sustainable way. We have online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, as well as our coaching and mastermind high-touch experience for creatives. You can find out more about starting and growing your design business at aventivacademy.com. But until then, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hello, and thank you so much for being here. For everyone listening this, I just want to say that Courtney is my friend who I actually met through Instagram after seeing her design work around, and some of my friends were tagging her. And so I reached out like, hey, it would be good to connect. We have a lot of friends in common. And then we realized that we actually live so close to each other. We could probably even walk to each other's places. So it's just like one of those cool things that happen online. But besides that, she is a successful web designer, web and brand designer, business owner, and a podcaster. And I will actually ask Courtney now to introduce herself and tell us who she is, what she does, and anything else she wants to share.
Hello, everyone. My name is Courtney. My business name is Courtney Marie. I just go by Courtney. You said it. I am a brand and web designer and podcaster on and off with the podcasting. I've kind of gone in seasons as you do in entrepreneurship. But yeah, so I own a brand and web design studio and we help female entrepreneurs with their branding and websites, more specifically with online coaches and course creators, and even more of a niche, Kajabi and Showit website specifically.
Perfect. Because I do have a question if you have your niche. So you have answered that. Yes. But let's start by me asking you, like, how long have you been running your own design agency and how did you start?
Yeah, so we are going on 4 years this year. Sometimes it all meshes together and you forget how long you've been doing this. Yeah. But the web design part, 4 years. And how I got started is so weird, full circle moment. So I'll kind of keep this short, but I went to college for graphic design and then into advertising. And so I took web design classes. I took graphic design classes. I wanted nothing to do with it. I switched halfway, or I didn't switch. I just graduated, but then I pursued fitness as a career, as a personal trainer, moved out to California from Nebraska to pursue this fitness dream and started my own personal training business online after being in the gym for about a year or two. So that's what got me into the online space, entrepreneurship. But how I got into web design was a full circle moment. So I signed up for Kajabi to run my fitness business. And a year or two went by, I had a back injury. Needless to say, didn't really do personal training as much, but I needed to support my income. So I'm like, what do I do? I walked into Kajabi. I'm like, I want to work here. I use your platform. I love it. And I need a job. So I ended up working at Kajabi for about 6 months. And after that, I just got really good at the platform, and I got to meet a lot of really cool entrepreneurs in the space. And they found out that I worked there. And I don't really know the pivotal point. I can't remember. I need to like find it. But I think I was going through this job and I still had that inkling of like, I can't do a 9-to-5. It is not in my bones. I don't know. It's always been there. I've just never been the 9-to-5 person. And so I sat down with my boss. I'm like, I'm at ends meet. I don't think I can do this. This isn't for me. I can't sit in a chair all day. And I just have this burning passion to build something of my own. And I owe it to myself to do that. And I broke down crying in front of him because I loved working there. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't give up this dream. Not yet. Not now. And so I left Kajabi and I was like, all right, do I go back to fitness? Cool. I'm going to try that. But in the meantime, I reached out to someone and I was like, hey, can I help you with your Kajabi? I simply just asked. I have this skill and I know people who use a platform. Why don't I just go find those people and ask them if they need help? That is what having a business is. You have a solution to a problem. And so you need to find those people and go pitch yourselves to them. And so that's really how it started. And then one thing after another, word got out, met the right people, and then it just had like a ripple effect. And it all of a sudden took over my fitness business without me even kind of pushing it. And then I had another moment where I had to sit and decide, do I go fitness or do I go with this new thing that is like taking off? And I resisted it for so long, but my coach was like, you need to do this. What's the worst that could happen? Let me just try it. And so I went all in December 2019. And here we are today, from solopreneur to now having a team of people. Never thought that I would be here. Sometimes I forget. I don't know if you feel like that, but when people like you get, I don't know, affirmations or feedback, you're like, oh yeah, I do that. That is cool. You're right.
Yeah, actually a few years ago, because I wasn't sure exactly like what I want to do next after I've been in this business for over 9 years working with clients. And I got to the point where I know it's bad to say, but I got tired of working with clients only. So I started building like online courses and things like that. But before that happened, I was talking to my husband and I was like, I don't even know what I can teach. Like, I don't even know what's going on anymore. And then he's like, why don't you start writing? Like, just take, like, open one Word document and start putting everything down. What happened in 2014? What did you learn? Ooh. Who did you meet? What happened in 2015? So I started like making like a diary and I'm like, oh my God, how many things I did in the past few years? Like, how is this even possible? Like, we forget so many things. Like, even you forget even what happened like last month, and maybe it was a big month for you, but you just put it there because you have to keep going, right?
I think it's because we're just like always on. I think that's part of society too. We're just always, what's next? What's next? And then we forget to celebrate our wins or even like sit and reflect, like you said, I did do that last month and that is a big deal, where people really struggle with that. And I found a solution. I don't know. It's just, we have to slow down.
Definitely. I think that that's the other reason why, and I mentioned this before we started recording, how people don't listen to podcasts that are longer than 30, 40 minutes anymore. Mm-hmm. And even YouTube videos are now, the most popular videos are 5 minutes. And I don't like, if I look back like 5 years ago, I would not even click on a short 5 minute video. Now that's not short anymore. Now we have all the reels that are 30 seconds, 60 seconds. So that's considered short form, like video form content, versus, you know, now 5 minutes is kind of average. Where, you know, in the past, like if it's not 30, 40 minutes, like I wouldn't even watch it. Like I can't find the value in that, right?
That's so sad.
Even like the webinars. You know, I used to watch a lot of webinars that were for an hour long. Now I'm thinking, oh, it's full hour. I don't know if I have that much time.
Yeah. We used to sit there and like watch these hour courses And yeah, I can't even sit through a 60-second TikTok sometimes.
Right. Okay. So another question that I have for you is, I know you mentioned it kind of naturally took off, like that you were getting clients, but how do you market your design business? Like maybe at the moment, or how did you start to really get the volume of clients that you need in order to start your agency? Like how, you know, how did you get to that level?
Yeah. So getting clients for me in the beginning was a lot different than what it is now. So in the beginning, it really was just word of mouth and referrals. I didn't have time to even focus on marketing because it was growing so fast. And so like the first 2 years, I always said, I felt like my business was pulling me, and you never want to be in that situation, burnout. And also you don't get a chance to get ahead of your business to help it grow and scale in the way that it needs to. So then you'll eventually hit a point where you're like, oh no, like it's slowing down now. What do I do? So in the beginning, word of mouth, referrals. And then when I got to a point where I could hire on team members, I went through and wrote down the, like created a system of what worked for me and how to get clients. So for me, that was like cold outreach, engagement on social media. So once I tapped into that and found a way that worked for me, I created that system and I hired someone as soon as I could because I did not like doing that. That part drains me. I love making relationships and meeting people, but like the cold outreach stuff, it works. It's not my favorite thing, but it works at the end of the day. Like you have to go out. I always tell people, you have to go out and find people that need your help. There is nothing wrong with that. Cold messaging gets a bad rap, but there's nothing wrong with going out and finding people who need your help. That's all that it is. They are not going to find you. So you cannot just sit here and wait for people to find you.
Maybe that worked in the past, to be honest with you. But now every single person has their own website. It's crazy. I mean, there's so many websites these days and there are so many freelancers, so many designers, and especially after pandemic, everybody wants to have their own business, which nothing wrong with that. And it's amazing. It's awesome. But it's not as easy to get clients as it was in the past. And I remember in the past, we would just write blogs and people would come to us easily. Now we actually have to put effort and either, you know, do cold outreach, or I have to go for networking events, or which luckily I love going for networking events because I see them more as like, I'm going to meet like-minded people. I work from home. I work in this office by myself the whole day. And then I simply love going out. And I don't try to sell when I go for a networking event, but I actually go to meet people, make friends, and you know, maybe something will happen, and it always does, but you know what I mean? Like it's totally different. So now that you mentioned like cold outreach, what platform do you use? Is that like something that you do on Instagram, like maybe like a private DM or LinkedIn, or it's maybe an email?
Yeah. So before I get into that, I want to say one thing, like just know that people don't know you exist, especially when you're starting out or even when you're further along. Like there's so many people in this world, they don't know who you are. And so we need to like drop our ego a little bit and go out and find these people. I think that's a big thing that I had to realize when I first started. Like, well, I'm putting out this content. Shouldn't people want to work with me? No, it's not like that at all. So going to your question, like which platform, we use Instagram and Facebook as our main sources. And then Google search is our top, like 30% of our leads come from Google. So that would be our like three. I'm going to be diving more into Pinterest. I keep going back and forth on TikTok. I really don't know what's going to happen with TikTok. So I've been kind of like hesitant with it. I don't know if you have, but that's my take on it.
Yeah, we don't even use TikTok.
Yeah.
I would sometimes repost if I have a reel, but even that is not for looking clients. That's more for coaching designers how to get clients. So that's for the Aventive Academy, not for my branding and design agency. And how we get clients is through blogging, word of mouth, because I go for events. I go for about like 2 events a month. So it's not a lot, but you know, it's one is like in the morning, so I go for a coffee, and one is in the evening, almost like a happy hour. So it's like really fun thing, you know, to mix them up. And then how else? Oh, yeah. And LinkedIn. We also get a lot of clients through LinkedIn.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Yes. And that's because I connected through LinkedIn with a lot of people who offer different services to the same target audience. So like, right. My ideal clients are product-based businesses that are looking for labels and packaging, especially like if they're in the health and wellness. So like supplements, skincare, and whatnot. And so then I look to connect with product photographers, because they would sometimes get clients who would come to them and then, you know, they're like, well, I can't really work with that. Can you, you know, work with a designer first and then we'll take photos of your product? So that's just like worked really well for me to connect with people who offer different services but have the same target audience. So that's why, you know, LinkedIn worked really well. And to be honest, we've never tried Instagram. We do post once a week just for people to see that we are alive, that we exist. But that's it. I think we just schedule it through Buffer and don't even look at it. Like, at least I don't. So my assistant will just like schedule and post. That's it.
I know we were talking about that last week. I'm kind of going through this like Instagram shift of wanting to dive more into my personal brand. And I don't want to have to market on Instagram. I want it to be a place where I just share advice on whatever I want to, kind of like my podcast. And so I definitely LinkedIn, I think, is great. Networking is huge. I'm the same way. I hate going into networking thinking I'm going to sell, because I just want to meet. And that's why I don't like it if it's done on me. It just feels very off. I get it. That's why people are there. I think sometimes I go just to like make friends. Like, oh, can we be friends outside?
Yeah, but that is the best way. Like, even if you don't look from business perspective, your friend is going to send you referral the most.
Yes. Yep.
So even if it's just, but also even if it's just making friends, why wouldn't we have more friends?
Yeah, I know.
Especially if you work from home and stuff.
I know. Sometimes I go, I'm like, can we not talk about business? Can we talk?
Yeah, can we do something else? Yeah, so I know you mentioned you have a niche. Now, I would like to ask you, why did you choose your niche and how did you decide to do that? You know, you were probably a web designer working for everyone and anyone. I don't know, but that's what I'm guessing. And then you decided to specialize working with coaches and course creators only. So now I'm wondering why that shift?
Yeah, I honestly don't think I ever, like, yes, I worked with a lot of different clients, but they were all within the Kajabi space. So they were a course creator. I don't think I ever ventured out of course creator / coach until maybe the last year or two. Like, we've worked with realtors, photographers, stuff like that. But we're just known for course creators because of the platforms that we use, Kajabi and Showit. So I think that kind of chose our niche for us. And that's just what I started out with. So because I was a fitness coach, I understood the lingo for coaches specifically. Like, here's what needs to go on a sales page for your coaching program and on your website in order to guide them where we want them to go. Like, I just understood the flow. And then from the course side, I understood Kajabi. So it's like, why not put these together and help people who use Kajabi? So honestly, it kind of just worked itself out, and I like had a niche before I even knew it.
Yeah. Because niche is something that's now very popular, especially because there's so many designers and developers out there and a lot of creatives trying to do something on their own. And it's hard to stand out unless you have a niche. So, you know, if you say that you do websites and branding and packaging design and this and that for everyone and anyone, like, it's going to be really hard to land anyone, right? Versus like having your niche. And then even if you're doing, let's say, cold emailing or cold outreach via Instagram or whatever it is, where do you even begin with? Like, where do you even start from if you don't know who your ideal client is, right? So that's why, yeah, I think that a lot of people are going within a niche. And that's probably something that helped you, even though maybe you didn't know that you have a niche.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people like get it wrong when they first start. They, you know, when you first started, I'm sure you, I want to help everyone. Like, I don't want to leave anyone out. You're not leaving anyone out. It's not to say like you get on a call with someone who's not, oh, sorry, you're not in my niche, I can't help you. That is not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're picking a niche so you know how to market, where to find these people. And then you start attracting other people as you go. But I mean, your niche, something that I've learned, your niche doesn't have to be a specific platform or a specific type of person. Sometimes as a designer, maybe your niche is a specific style, and then maybe it's a target audience within that style. You just got to play around with it, but you don't really find your niche until you dive in first and figure out who you like to work with and what you like to do.
Yeah, definitely. And so do you offer now websites only? Because I feel like I saw on your website that you offer branding and branding, like logo design, colors, things like that. So how did you decide to add that to your business? And do you have someone who does that for you, or it's something that you focus on?
Yeah. So when I first started, I was specifically virtual assistant for Kajabi users. I did the tech, all the backend stuff. Don't like doing that. And then like I tapped into my design side, which I used to have right back in college. I'm like, ooh, I get to use this again. And so then I started doing web designs, because at first I was like, who am I to do web design? I'm not a web designer. I took a class and I cried. I got a C+. But I tapped into it. I was like, why not try it? And one thing after another, like I fell in love with web design. And I think 6 months in or Yeah, 6 months in, I decided to go full web design only. And that's all that I did. And I probably did that for a while, but then I saw a gap. I saw a gap or a missing piece when clients came to us, they didn't have their branding. And so then I'm like, well, shoot, like I want to help them with their website, but I also know they need the branding piece in order for this whole thing to
work,
be effective for them. Otherwise, it's like a waste of money if you're trying to piece together all these things. And so I'm like, what can I do to help our clients have both? And so I learned how to do branding. Like I had to learn really quick. I knew a lot about it from my own stuff. But to be an actual brand designer, I had to learn different things. And like I started out with very simple logo type, typography logos. And that was just all that we offered. And so now I do have a brand designer that does full brand packages. But then we also offer just like a mini brand refresh for colors and fonts for the website. Mm-hmm. That has been the biggest game changer, because we will not work with a client if they don't have their branding approved by us, or if they don't have any done. Because I know, just as you know, we could do this website, but if all the colors are off and it's not attracting who we want to attract, like you're just paying me to what? Like put together a website that does nothing for you. Yeah. I'm not signing up for that, and I don't want you to sign up for that.
Exactly. And I'm like the other way around. I was a brand designer who added website services. So I was providing like brand boards, brand books, where I would design logo, you know, select colors, typography and all that. And then like that would be it, which is fine. But I just like felt my clients were asking for more, or they would come to me, so we are looking for a logo and a website. And I'm like, oh, well, I can do a logo. And then they have to find someone else, or they would just go with someone else because they wanted to work with one person or one agency versus like with a bunch of freelancers. So that's how I started, you know, adding the website design services, and I had to learn quickly.
Yes.
And I started with WordPress because I didn't know about any other platform. And this was like 9-10 years ago. And so one of my friends who is a web developer, he told me WordPress is very easy to use, and it wasn't. I mean, nowadays I think that it is because things have changed, but in the past it was not easy to figure it out. And so I started using like WordPress, using some different plugins, trying to offer something. And oh my God, if I look into those websites that I gave to my previous clients, like it's so bad.
Isn't that funny? You look back, you're like, wow.
Like people paid for that? Really?
What did you charge for your first website?
I think about remember? 500.
Okay, same. Yeah. think it was 600. Isn't that crazy?
Right? I charged $65 for a logo design on Craigslist.
Oh my goodness.
And then I remember when I got to 200, I was like so happy, $200 for a logo. And then I was like, I'll try 240. Because I don't know how, like, I don't know where that can take me to until one client reached out to me and they told me that their budget is $3,000. So they said it first. And I was like, $3,000 for a logo? And
at first I thought, $3,000.
Yeah, I thought it's a scam. And I was like, yeah, if I give them my information, something will be off, you know? But no, they paid and that was my new rate.
Yeah. And you would have never known unless you like dived in and tried it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So how many people do you have now on your team? How big is your agency?
So there's three of us that are like consistent, and by consistent, I mean like hourly, like consistent hourly per week. And then I have like subcontractors as well. I have two designers and then one copywriter.
Okay. And what are their roles, let's say, of those consistent people?
So I have a VA / podcast manager. So she's helping me do like operations, admin stuff, and then also the podcast editing, post-production. And then we also have a VA in the Philippines. She helps us with marketing and outreach.
Amazing. And when it comes to pricing, that's just one more thing that I have on top of my mind that I would like to talk about. How did you determine your pricing? And do you have like packages that you offer, or you have one offer and a price on it?
Yeah, I love this question because it took me so, like, I really struggled with how to price our packages. And I still struggle at times. Like, my coach would always tell me, like, you need to be charging more. And I'm like, no, like, really? Like, I'm good. I feel like this is fair. And she's like, no, you need to be charging more. And so we would always battle. And then I would eventually get there. But it just took me longer to finally get to that increase. I started out hourly, and I highly recommend doing this for anyone, like service provider, because what it does is it helps you track your time. When you're a solopreneur, you need to know how long certain things take you, because what you're doing is you're preparing, you're setting yourself up for when you do go and hire someone. Because if you don't know how long something takes you, how do you know what expectation to have for a team member? And so that's what I started out as. And then we eventually moved into project-based. So then I was like, okay, if a website takes me 20, 30 hours, whatever, I think it was like 30 hours at the time when I was first starting, which is so long and it's so much shorter now. But if I knew it took me this long and we want to go project-based, I need to increase a little bit more to provide some leeway in case the project goes over. And so that's super important if you're going project-based, because let's say someone pays you and it's taking you a lot longer. Well, now you're paying yourself even less. And so that was something I had to learn. But as far as like different, and then from there, we just kept increasing every quarter until we got to a sweet spot. And the sweet spot, I would say, is when you're getting like about 50% of clients saying yes and 50% of clients saying no on the sales call, you've probably hit your sweet spot, because it's good to get no's and it's great to get yeses. If you're always getting yeses, probably need to increase your rates. If you're always getting no's, maybe check your rates if it's too high. But there's so many different factors that go into pricing, like your expenses. How much are you paying your team members? How much time it takes you? What are your living expenses? Like all of those things. And then what are you paying yourself per hour? I don't think a lot of people actually break that down. One thing for me is when I did that, I found out I was paying myself less than I was paying my team. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. And so it takes a lot of like analyzing and breaking down what you're actually paying yourself. And then also your goals in life. Like, what do you want to be doing and how many clients do you want to take on? If you want to take on a lot of clients, then you can charge a lower rate. For us now, I want to work with selective clients. So like our prices are a lot higher. So we take on fewer clients and it's been the best thing ever because now I have leeway. I can do special things for clients or I can hop in or offer this if I want to, like, yeah, no worries. We'll take care of that for you. I couldn't do that in the beginning because it was back to back to back. Like we have no time. We need to get this done. And so it's been a journey. I love talking about pricing. I think it's something everyone struggles with, but there's so many factors that go into it than just, oh, I'm going to pick this number because someone else is charging that. I do not like when people do that. I see a lot of that in the coaching space. And when you ask them, what brought you to that number? They don't know.
They're like, they don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to know your numbers and need to know why you're charging what you're charging.
Yeah. And do you have now different offers or you have one offer and that's the only thing that you do?
Yeah. We
like
have
in terms
different...
of, packages.
Yeah. Our offers have evolved as well because I notice like you have to, one, I always recommend asking for feedback from clients because if you're not growing and not knowing what they're needing, what they like, what they don't like, how are you supposed to switch your offers or like adapt? And so what we offer now is a lot different than what we used to, and we've kind of simplified it. We like strictly do web design and then branding is like an add-on. Copywriting is an add-on, but we really focus on, hey, do you want custom web design or do you want website in a day where it's like a fast process. People are loving the website in a day, but it's more from a template option. So it's just like, hey, option one or option two. It makes it so much easier for you and the client.
Yeah, definitely. That's an amazing advice. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this conversation when it comes to growing your design business? I mean, I know we talked a lot about, everything, or actually talked a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
But if there is anything else that you would like to add, feel free to do so. And if not, please share how our listeners can find you online, like your website, Instagram, or any other platform that you've been using.
Yeah, I would just say, gosh, there's so much I could speak on this. I would say just know that you're going to run into hurdles, especially in the beginning, every day, if not every week, every month, every year. And it's not a linear process. So some months will be great. Some months will be low. Some years will be great. Some years will be lower. And you have to be okay with that and not be so attached to the outcome and just be willing to go through the journey. I think that's the biggest thing. If you're in this because you love it and you're not attached to a number or an outcome, you will succeed and you will thrive. I think it's when you're so attached to a number and it doesn't happen and then you like beat yourself up. So I think that would be like my biggest advice.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to connect more, you can find me on Instagram, CourtneyMarie.me, or check out the podcast, Coffee with Courtney. And that is all that I have.
Yeah, and we're going to also leave the links below this video on YouTube and below our podcast on our website and other platforms.
Perfect. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on The Profitable Graphic Designer. In addition to this podcast, we have created some amazing online courses to help you set up your business, get more clients, and scale to the income level you desire. If you need help developing your graphic brand or web portfolio so it stands out, if you want to learn how to create proposals new clients will say yes to, if you're still trying to figure out how much to charge for your services, and if becoming the go-to designer for your dream clients is your goal this year, then I invite you to enroll in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer, or one of our other specialized online courses. To learn more about it and get started, visit eventiveacademy.com. See you next time.